Right. Good evening. Take your Bibles to Joshua chapter 17, and in your stamp booklet, it should be, I think it happens to be right in the middle or very close to page 16. Joshua chapter 17. This message is entitled Astronauts and Ballerinas. Astronauts and Ballerinas. An unbiblical title. Neither of these two professions occur in the Bible. Astronauts and Ballerinas. Joshua chapter 17. Right, let's read from verse 14, please. Joshua chapter 17. Verse 14. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites, and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, Their hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Jezreel and her town, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Joseph's people, Joseph's descendants, had a problem. There wasn't enough room. They were squashed, they were uncomfortable, they wanted more land, and they came to Joshua. Now, had they got a land? Did they have somewhere to live already? Did anyone pick up where they were living? About three verses in. Mount Ephraim. They had a mountain already. Valley view. A bit like this one. Looking out across, out the door, and there's another mountain opposite. Joshua said, You can have that mountain over there as well as the mountain that you're on, Mount Ephraim. You can have that one too. If you don't have enough room, why don't you take that mountain over there? Now, just do a bit of geography for a minute. If you have one mountain beside a second mountain, what else have you also got? A valley. And the problem was, in that valley, there were people living there that had chariots of iron. Now, I would imagine having chariots of iron would not have been an advantage on Mount Ephraim. Would that be fair to say? A chariot would operate better in a valley than up in a mountain. And so we can assume that they, if they had chariots, they weren't as good as those of these Canaanites. So they had land. They weren't landless, but they wanted more. But what they were offered on the other side wasn't going to work too well because of what was in between. If I wanted to go and visit you, though you're my brother on the other mountain, I would have to engage with the Canaanites in between. And that might get difficult. Joshua says, You are a great people, you can do it. But why hadn't they done it before now? Hadn't God told them that the Canaanites were to get eradicated from the land? They were to call 1-800, kill all the Canaanites, and they would send out cars and fumigate the area. They were like, that was what God had told them to do. Get rid of the Canaanites. And they hadn't done it. Why hadn't they done it? Look at verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh was a descendant of who? Joseph, those same people. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. But it's more than that. It's not just that they wanted to live there. Verse 13. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, they'd grown strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. They put them to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. It was convenient to teach Canaanites. The Canaanites were a source of revenue. It was to their advantage physically to teach them. They would generate income for them. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you bless our time in your word now. I pray that you give clarity of thought to each one here, and Lord, we pray that your spirit would speak to our hearts, and Lord, that we would discern what you have us to do concerning these truths as we look at the season together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Why hadn't they gotten rid of the Canaanites? Tribute. Tribute. What's tribute? Tax. Mula. They wanted coins. They wanted an income. They had bags that they wanted the Canaanites to put money in so that they could have an income. They wanted their money. They kept the Canaanites in subjection so that they could keep tenants, Canaanites, that would pay them to leave them alone. And the problem is that when you are offered that mountain over there, but you have tenants living in the valley between you and that mountain, that if you had to go to war with, it would be difficult to win. But if you just leave it in the status quo, you will get money. Which one is easier to stay with? It's easier to stay with the revenue, the income-generating Canaanites, disobey God, and not deal with the problem, but then you squash the land. You don't have enough room. You follow? It was convenient for them. It was convenient for them to keep the Canaanites paying that money. Bringing in the money. Tribute. Tribute. Choices that we make in the physical, choices that you and I make in the physical, will in time manifest themselves in the spiritual. Choices that you are making today in your physical life will have an impact on you spiritually at some point. And that's what we see here. They had chosen to have income from Canaanites. But we will see that these Canaanites are going to affect them spiritually. The reason they allowed that to happen was not because they felt sorry for the Canaanites. Where will they live? It doesn't matter. God told you, get rid of them. But where will they? It doesn't matter. God says, get rid of them. And that wasn't the reason anyway. The reason they did not deal with the Canaanites was because they wanted tribute. They wanted the money. is just a review so far. We have our mountain. We're offered another mountain. But inconveniently, between the two, there's chariot of iron. Now let me get really practical. I hope it's practical. The reason that you do not love the things of God, the reason I don't love the things of God and the work of God, the reason that you struggle to read your Bibles as you should, to spend the time in prayer that you should, to be the witness that we should be, is because the world has benefits that we don't want to deal with. We want it convenient to stay in the world. It's more convenient than to deal with it. And the reason you and I struggle spiritually is because of the Canaanites. Because we won't deal with them as we should. We haven't dealt with areas of sin that are clear in the Bible. We haven't dealt with the areas of obedience that are clear in the Bible. God told them, get rid of the Canaanites. Now they're struggling. They're struggling. The world has benefits for us, and it is convenient to take those benefits. But when you, when many of you were, say, 4 years old, you had all sorts of crazy ideas of what you were going to be when you grew up. You're going to be a fireman, you're going to be a ballerina, you're going to be an astronaut, you're going to be Robin Hood, you're going to be a princess. And we had all these ideas of, that weren't realistic, that could never happen to you or to me. Maybe a fireman. Maybe that wasn't totally unrealistic. But as we got older, let's just pick a number out of the air. Say we, by the time we were 8, we realized that becoming astronauts and ballerinas was for somebody else. We were not interested in the effort it was going to take, and we knew that someone else would get this before us anyway. It was not realistic. But at about the same time, those of you that grew up in Christian homes and were in churches were interested in the things of God. Many of you made decisions. You were talking about being missionaries. You were talking about serving God with your life. And not because it was still a pie in the sky, unrealistic dream. Because you had the brain to realize it was unrealistic to become an astronaut. And you also had the brain to realize the God you serve is big enough to take you and use you however you want it. Whether that was here or there. You had the brain then. You had the faith then. What's happened? Because at that age, yes, you had a flesh, but your flesh was interested in getting what you wanted and disobeying mom, disobeying dad. But the world had not spoken to your flesh at that point. At that age, the world was just a place you went out the door and went shopping with mom. The world was a place that you drove through to get to church. But that is not the world that you are struggling with today. The world is somewhere where you want to be because it's convenient. Because it's convenient. Joshua said in that passage, you know what? You are a great people. And you are going to have both the mountain and the valley between. You're great enough to have that. And you guys will get this world shaken up for Christ. But it is not going to happen with chariots of iron, Canaanite, the world bringing you income, with the world being convenient for you. It will not happen with the world having a hold on your life. Just like getting that mountain and that valley was not going to happen until they dealt with the issue of their heart not wanting to get rid of the pain. You guys will get this world turned upside down for Christ, but only, and not before, you deal with the tribute money. Not before. Christ said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, what did he go on to say? That he would send forth laborers. To do what? What were those laborers to do out there in the world? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. To do what? James 4:4. Be a friend of the world. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field, that they would love the world. No. He didn't want them to go and love the world, did he? What did he want them to do? That's it. Collect seed. That's what harvesters are supposed to do. And that's what many of us, most of us, perhaps all of us, are not doing. We're not praying that people would go, and we're not willing to go because of the chariots of iron. Owned by the people that are giving us the revenue that we are so interested in. Joshua saw right through their seed. He realized that they couldn't get that mountain because they had issues in the valley that they had not dealt with. Joshua saw right through. We're to go and to tell. But once we're there, we're not to conform to the things of this world. We're to go and to tell, but we're not to lust after the things of this world once we get there or on our way. But if the truth be known, we want the world to stay worldly. If the world stays worldly, then all those little things that interest us, that have a hold of our flesh, we can still check up on this, and we can still see that. It's so long as the world stays worldly, but if we deal with it, if we deal with it in our life, well then, where's the entertainment going to come from? Where's the money going to come from? I might have to deal with the stranglehold that sport has on my life. The things of this world that have a hold on me. We love their fashion. We love their gaming. We love their hashtags. We love their look. We love their sport. We even love to follow their live news stream so that we don't miss out a thing on what's going on in that crisis downtown. And we waste hours and hours and hours of our lives following the things of this world. Why are we still worldly? Because we keep sowing to the flesh. We keep sowing to the flesh. But the idea that we can have the world and love God at the same time. That I can have all of what the world has to offer, all its tributes that it offers me, all those benefits that could be mine if the world stays worldly. And loving God at the same time. That's as crazy as you becoming an astronaut or a ballerina. That's that out there. It's crazy. As if we're going to become astronauts. But some of us probably here were thinking it might be a cool thing to do when we were four. Some of you were going to be princesses, am I right? Some of you. That's okay. If you choose the right guy and God bless you, you'll be a princess, at least on that day. Amen? Who are we kidding? What's James 4:4 say? Know ye not? Don't you know? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Don't you realize that? It's enmity. Friendship of the world. The friendship of the world. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Don't you know? No, you not. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? And James 4:4 says that. Know ye not? He says that. Having called them adulterers and adulteresses. Adulterers and adulteresses. But when a man takes somebody that is not his wife, he is a fornicator. But when a married man takes somebody that is not his wife, he is an adulterer. She's an adulterer. And even in this day of loose living, that title is not one that the world clutches around. They'll call it an affair. They'll call it a romance, but they shun the term adulterer or adulteress because of the connotation. It's the same thing. It's taking something that is not yours and treating it as yours. Am I right? That's what that physical relationship is. And that's what we are doing when we are taking the world, something that is not yours as a child of God, and making it yours. Ye are an adulterer or an adulteress. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity. Enmity with God. Enmity with God. We become the enemy. Hello? Does anyone hope to grow up to become the enemy of God? Not even at four we were dreaming of that one. That is crazy. But you are an adulterer and the enemy of God if you are loving the world. That's what the Bible says. Woo! I don't want to be an adulterer and I don't want to be the enemy of God. Taking something that is not ours and treating it as ours. This mountain that we're already living on is all that you have, but it's not enough. You want more. That's fair enough. You should dream big. You should have plans for your future. What you have now is not enough. And you want more. But that other mountain there, your future, that other mountain that can be potentially yours, your future, you want to make something great out of your future, I hope. You want your future to count for something in this world. But even that dream is not enough. And you want more. You want more now, that's the problem. You want more right now. You don't want more in your future, you want it now. And you see, it's convenient for you to have the world hanging around. Because it's filling up your time. The world can fill your time just like that if you want it to. It fills your flesh. No chariots you're down there yet. They're a pain in the neck. They're a nuisance. But the ones owning those chariots are giving you, feeding you worldly pleasures. Will be temptation, things that your flesh is interested in. But those chariots are your excuse for not having that mountain. But that's not the real reason you don't have that mountain. The reason you don't have that mountain, and I'm not on the right path that will get you that mountain of a successful life, not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. The reason many of us here are not on that life path right now, headed in the direction of God's fullest blessing for you, is because, not because there are chariots in the way, but because we love the things of this world. You have a love for the things of this world. And so until you deal with that, you cannot be on the right path of God's fullest blessing for you. How can you sow to the flesh, meet a nice girl, and then suddenly stop, who is also sowing to the flesh, suddenly stop sowing to the flesh, start going to the Spirit and have a godly home? Who wants to raise an ungodly home, have a wrecked marriage, and doesn't want anything to happen in their lives for the glory of God? You've got to stop sowing your flesh. You have to start sowing to the Spirit regularly, habitually, on purpose, until you don't even have to think about it. Because what man and what woman are going to sow to the flesh, sow to the flesh, sow to the flesh, and oh, we're married now, sow to the Spirit? You wouldn't even know where to begin. Not because you don't have the Spirit of God, so that might be a possibility as well. But just because there is stuff. What worldly thing are you going to give up first? What worldly thing are you going to give up first? What is it? All of you probably have an idea of what God would like you to start with, but you're not going to do it because it's not convenient. It's like getting tribute money. It's more convenient than dealing with chariots of iron. Look where it heads up. Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. Next book over. Judges chapter 1. Verse 28 to 32. Judges 1, 28. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute. This is down the track. Now all Israel did. And did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. So they were fellow citizens, those ones. Ephraimites are a bit thick, hadn't cottoned on that this is a revenue stream. But they were happy to live amongst them. Yeah, brother, come on in. Neighbor, how are you doing today? Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kishon, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Asher, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Arlab, nor of Atzib, nor of Helba, nor of Asher, nor of Rehob, but the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. The inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Naphtali does the same, but he dwelt among them, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains. So they even got evicted. Down the track, the sin of Manasseh and Ephraim come on. It became the latest praise. To keep Canaanites as a tribute, or even if you're really generous, just make them fellow citizens. They're not even giving you anything for the privilege of living next to you. These guys, it's become trendy to keep them. So Mom, didn't you know Samuel's parents let him do that? Oh, Dad, Hannah's allowed to have one of those. Hannah's allowed to go there. It becomes trendy. We want what our friends have, but it's not the spiritual things that they have. And our homes become museums to the sins in the homes of our friends. Our homes, because we wish to our parents that I want this because they have it, and because they're allowed to go there. And no, let your parents live. Let them make the spiritual decisions. When you've got your own home, you wreck that one. You can invite all the sin you want then, because it's your home. But don't make your home the museum to all the sinful things going on in all your friends' homes. What's the point of that? What's the point of that? You don't walk down the street on rubbish night, emptying everyone's bins and putting it into our front yard. And when that's full, we start filling up the backyard with everything in everyone else's wheelie bins, do we? No, it's junk. We don't want ours. We don't want theirs either. What are we doing? Yeah, sometimes we even want to put ours in the neighbors because our bin's full, right? That's how it should be. Exporting junk as far as you can get it. Because you've got so much, you need to order another bin from the council. Spiritually. We want the same access to the world that our friends have. We want the same tribute money that our friends are getting. We want access to it. We want it in our life. And then we wonder why we can't hear God. Why can't I hear the voice of God? I asked him to lead me concerning what I should do at the end of school. What does he want me to do about this situation in my life? And I wonder why I can't hear his voice. I wonder why he's not answering me. Why is he not answering me? Maybe he's not there. Maybe it's all a big joke.